we just keep that presence going? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Worshiping you.
Cause we're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you. Oh, we're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed. Worship him, hallelujah, Jesus. To worship you, I live, Jesus. To give you everything, I live, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, to worship you, I live.
we sing that out? Oh, Jesus. Oh, hear our hearts cry tonight. Oh, 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 Jesus. That's right, just keep that spirit of praise and worship to Him, Jesus. One more time. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one. My soul, Lord, to you is surrendered. All I am is yours, Jesus. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul. Worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I want to get through this. I would like for our elder, Brother Emmett Caskey, Sister Caskey's on vacation, but I would like for Brother Caskey to come up here, if he would, please. I am so appreciative of this couple and what they have done and what they are contributing to Calvary Gospel Church. They oversee that he's working in our ministry and training, as well as he helps myself, and they visit our various preaching points and give assistance where needed, and I'm so very, very thankful. Also, we have Carl and Cecily Grant that are part of our pastoral team. They're helping down in Stoughton right now, learning a number of things as far as how outreaches, church plants, all of that good stuff. And Cecily, she's going to, I can say this, she's my niece, she's going to waddle her way up here, girl. Oh, we love and appreciate Carl and Cecily. Cecily, you're getting here. You were just up here. I should have just had you stay. But Carl and Cecily, then also we have Brian and Sarah Ragnard that are helping out in our ministries, working as our hyphen, but also working under Pastor Phil. And we are such an honor to have Brian. You never know what's going to happen. Ushers, jocks of the church. I didn't see that one coming, I have to be honest with you. One of our older ministers that is still very active in ministry, Rich and Peggy Thomas. Brother Rich Thomas is in his 75, I believe, 77. And they just started a few years back pastoring in Stoughton and starting up a preaching point there. And I just want to thank then Rich and Peggy, more probably. I thank Peggy. We love Rich Thomas. And here you go. I got to get you that there. All right. And we thank them so very much. Also, James and Audrey Hawk. Brother James, I think, reached 70. Sister Audrey is still somewhere in the 50-ish range, but it's so thankful for James and Audrey Hawk. They pastor our Westside Revival Ridge Pentecostal Church, and I am so thankful for what this couple. Brother James also works in our counseling ministry, oversees all of our counseling. Did I do something wrong? You know, everybody's laughing at me here. James and Audrey, what's that? The button, Jeff, I don't know. But thank you so very much. Then we have Sun Prairie. We have Rolling Prairie, which is an apartment complex, a large apartment complex in Sun Prairie. And Brother Kevin and Sister Linda Brown oversee that preaching point there. And so I'm very thankful for what they contribute. Sister Linda's our ladies minister. And they have been part of Calvary Gospel Church team for many years, but thank you so very much, Sister Linda. We appreciate you and Brother Kevin. And we'll give that to you there. Then we have out in Poinette, we have Brother Dave and Sister Ellen Hopp. And this is an awesome couple, Brother Dave, one of our elders. And I don't dare call the ladies elders, okay? I'm not going to go there. I want to make it through another day. But they'll get up here. But I want to thank them there in Poinette for what you folks contribute to Calvary Gospel Church and our preaching points. God bless both of you. And then we have, I don't see Brother Fabian and Sister Gina and Claude and Sister Tara are not here as well. They, Pastor Brother Fabian is our VOSIS pastor, and Claude and Tara oversee Africa and International, and I'm so appreciative. I think these folks deserve just a big round of applause. Thank you so very much. We love and appreciate all of you. Everything you do, everything you contribute to Calvary Gospel Church, thank you so very much. And we are getting ourselves prepared for a revival of unprecedented. And I believe this so strongly, and these couples that are standing before us here today are going to be, they're going to help propel us into a territory, into territories that we have never been before. And they're there building, planting strongholds for the kingdom of God. Thank you so very much. God bless you all. We do have ministry and training tonight. Brother Caskey will be overseeing that. And then we also have, I guess, in the fellowship hall, Sunday school training. So I will take what's left, and we will move forward. But if we could all stand, we're going to take just 5 minutes, meet and greet a guest. God bless you. If you're a guest of ours, once again, thank you so very much for coming. We'll be back in 5 minutes. We've had a lot of breaks in between for my speaking with special guests and such, and also some of my health issues, trying to get over some of those. But I'm just going to move forward tonight. We started a series. It was titled Faith. It was created for times like this. And we started talking about, started in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And we covered chapters 1 through 5 in our first lesson. And I did tell everyone that we were going to be shortening up our lessons, just for my sake, I guess, to be able to keep my thoughts together and everything for a specific amount of time, and just kind of what was recommended and such. So tonight, faith, it was created for times like this. We're going to cover Joshua chapter 6. And I want to title this little lesson in this, How to Overcome Obstacles. Now, it was amazing to me when Sister Spears came that she basically preached this lesson with a little bit different intent, going a little bit different direction with it. But I want to tie in, and I talked with Sister Lori Merkus, and I just wanted to make sure that everything was okay here. I just, there's been a lot of things happen in the last month. A lot of things happen. There's been a lot of things happen over this past summer and into the fall of the year. And I would have to say that my faith, I don't know how your faith is, but my faith over the last few months has definitely been challenged. Now, I told the church recently that everywhere I go, I carry with me in my wallet, on the back of my driver's license, I have 2 mustard seeds taped to the back of my driver's license. That goes all the way back to Brother I brought Brother Bussard. I kept thinking Edwin Forkpaw. I'm like, nope, there's a world of difference between Brother Bussard. Going back to Brother Bussard when he challenged us on faith, and I really want God to challenge my faith. And I want to be able to take and not just go places that I have never been before, but I want to be able to lead this church as places that we have never been before. Because we're a church, we're a body. We're God's body, Calvary Gospel Church in Madison, Wisconsin. So I look at this that we've taken just about everything that the enemy can throw at us. He's throwing all kinds of issues. I'm just going to lay it out there. It's not like it's anything that's being hidden. We've had a lot of bad press, a lot of negative articles going all over the country. All of these issues thrown in our face, trying to deal with overcoming some of this, overcoming some of the fears that this, all of these things can happen. We went from that to where we had Brother Jeff Merkus passed away, and that was a real test of my faith and also our faith as a congregation. And I just believe that in all of this, that God is building us up. He is setting us up for much more than what I believe that we really actually can comprehend that God is setting us up for and what he is doing. And I asked myself this question that there's obstacles that are out there that you and I are going to have to learn to overcome. And what happens if God says no? I think we're finding some of these things out. When I looked at Brother Jeff's funeral I guess for lack of better purpose, we gave God an opportunity to bring our brother back. And that was a real challenge. I will tell you that. That was a real challenge of faith on my part and on our part. I'm not trying to gloat in any way, shape, or form. I've had conversations with Sister Lori, and I think God did what God wanted to do. God is sovereign. But I can't really say I've ever been to any funeral anywhere in my lifetime that I've seen this happen. I'm saying it was just because it was myself. I think it was because God was challenging us, and our brother had asked a favor of myself. And in the process of all of this, it seems like in our brother's passing that God used this opportunity to force and push us into a level of learning how to deal with faith, even if God says no in that process. And we're going to talk about that more next week or in a couple weeks. Brother Carl will be speaking next week because I'll be a district planning session. But so I want to get into this tonight, and let's look at how to overcome obstacles in times like this, and how does this apply to the reality in how we live our day-to-day lives. Now, Joshua chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it's a rather lengthy chapter. It's got a number of verses, and you can take and go home tonight, and you can read that over the next few days and such. But just starting off, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. Nobody went in, nobody went out. And this chapter tells the story of Jericho itself. The people of God that decided whether or not that they were going to continue the journey to where God wanted them to go. This was a very pivotal moment in the lives of Israel. Now, when we read this story and we look at it in context, 100% of the generation that left Egypt and had no faith the first time around is now gone, with an exception of Joshua, Caleb, and everyone that was under the age of 20. Thank you. So that whole generation of unbelief and lack of faith is now gone away. They're no longer there. So it's an opportunity for the new generation of Israel to step up and step in to the purpose that God had called them to do in the first place. They would move forward in spite of the obstacles, or they would once again retreat into the safety of their past. And we each arrive at this crossroads in our spiritual walk with God. We have to understand, and I've been talking a lot about this, and maybe this has just kind of been I don't want to say the mantra, but for lack of thinking of another word, this has been the mantra. This has been what God has kind of laid on my heart most of this year, is that God did not place myself, God did not place you, He did not place your family on this planet without a purpose. God has a divine purpose and a divine design for every one of us. But as we seek to follow His direction is when difficulties begin to confront us, and it's when we run into those obstacles, those difficulties that confront us, is what affects us and how our purpose is fulfilled. Sometimes we struggle most of our lives trying to fulfill a purpose that we never can quite seem to get there. Anybody ever feel that way? I think most of us could say that is how I feel most of the time. And the reason I feel that most of the time is I spend most of my time trying to overcome obstacles. And we ask ourselves at times, God, why did you have to make this so difficult? You ever ask God that? Boy, I asked Him that a number of times today because I just had one of those days. All right? Just one of those days. I have a little toilet, okay? It's a little miniature toilet. It's a keychain, and Brother Thomas gave it to me years ago. And I still have that. And at the end of the day, sometimes I just want to go home and just hit that little flush button. And it makes a flushing sound, because that's how you feel at the end of some days, don't you? You just as soon just say, you know what? Let's just flush this thing and let's have a fresh start in the morning. I'm going to go to bed. But so here we are. We're looking at this. Joshua teaches us here in chapter 6 of Joshua on how we are to come overcome obstacles in our lives. So we have to look at what would keep us from following the will of God for our lives. And the number one point I put down is we overcome obstacles through one simple thing, and that is found in Joshua 6, verse 1 and 2. And Jericho was straitly shut out because of the children of Israel. No one went in, no one went out. And the Lord said to Joshua, what is happening right here? Can anybody just tell me what is happening when the Lord said to Joshua? What is that a process of? It's a process of when I say something to you, what am I doing? What am I doing right now? Communicating. And I'm finding out that the number one reason that I struggle and I have obstacles in my life that I have difficulties overcoming is because I have a communication problem with God. Anybody want to admit that tonight? I have a communication. God and I sometimes are long ways away from being on the same page. God has spoken to me directive in times of late that I'm right by your side. I'm right with you. I will not leave you. Yet, days like today, you feel like He's somewhere elsewhere in this galaxy tending to worlds unknown. and you talk to God, you try your best to communicate with God. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto you thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. How many times has God told you in your life that I have given to you this blessing, or I have given to you what you have asked for? How many times has God told us that? Yet we go back time and time again, just like myself today, saying, God, I have to remember what you told me just a few weeks ago. I have to remember that, because today I'm really not feeling that inside of me right now. I'm struggling. So we overcome obstacles through communication. Nobody came in. Nobody went out. So we understand when the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered your enemy into your hands. I'm giving you the king, and I'm giving you all the mighty men of valor. Pure and simple. It's that easy, Joshua. The major obstacle facing Joshua and the people of Israel was Jericho. That was a major obstacle. I don't think you could look in Scripture and find any other obstacles quite like that. So how would they reach the city? How are they going to scale the wall? You see, Joshua had a God who communicated with him. And we have a God that desires to communicate with us. The biggest problem that we have in this communication process is not understanding what God sounds like in our lives. That's our biggest problem. Verse 2 reads, and the Lord said to Joshua, you see, through such a statement, it might seem odd if it's applied to our lives, because we typically don't say, well, God said to me today. Because we look at that, and we have folks that even, I've heard pastors preach and teach that God doesn't talk to people like that. Well, wait, why not? How else does he communicate with us? You ever wonder that? I mean, God talks. I mean, God doesn't talk audibly to me. I probably would just fall over, pass out if he did. But God doesn't talk audibly. But there are times I know that God is speaking to me. God speaks through other people. God speaks through tongues interpretation, through prophetic words. So God speaks to his people. And what did God say when he spoke to Joshua? He said, you know what? This is not an obstacle for you at all. I'm going to communicate something very simply to you here today, Joshua. I'm going to tell you that I have delivered. I've already done this. You need to understand this process, as far as I am concerned, this process is over and done with, because I have already spoken this into existence. It's going to happen. And I'm going to provide you a plan. You see, when God gives us purpose, and we understand, Bishop, what our purpose is, that's when God gives us a plan. And that plan is like the will, his will for our lives, and we follow out that plan. And God, he doesn't change the plan, but he gives us plans at different times in our lives. You may go through life at times and feel like you've got no direction. Maybe God has you in a holding pattern, and he's got you pulled over on I-80 at mile marker 177 at the rest area, because he says, you know what, you need some rest, so I'm going to park you for a little while. And we're struggling, and we're trying to figure out, God, I've been sitting here for a while. What am I doing sitting here in a rest area? Well, because you don't know what's coming around the bend in your life. So I'm going to give you something that you don't realize and understand that you need yet. So God gives Joshua a plan. And God provided the plan for taking over Jericho. And it was very simple. Whatever your obstacle is that you have and you're dealing with right now in your life, because they're going to change. Once you overcome what you're seeking to overcome now, guess what? You're going to step up in God. You're going to grow in God. Your faith is going to increase. And bam, you're going to be at a different level. And God is going to say, okay, let's see how you handle this level now. That's how God works in our lives. Do you understand? It's always going to be this way. It's never going to not be this way. And that's where I think sometimes we feel that in our lives that, well, God, am I ever going to get a break here? Am I ever not going to have any issues? No. As long as we are serving Him, He is teaching us and He is growing us. He is mentoring us. He is building us. He is designing us for a purpose. And every obstacle helps us in that purpose. I've learned so much in the last 3 months on who I am, what I think, how I operate, and how I operate too much on myself and not enough on God. And God will put you, trust me, will put you in a position that you have no choice. No choice but to operate and rely on Him. So God says, you know what? He's committed. Whatever the obstacle, God is willing to deal with that obstacle with you. Notice God didn't look at Joshua and said, this is how you fight the battle. And from here on out, you're on your own. God was with him every step of the way. From the inception of the plan all the way to the fulfillment of the plan. You see, if you're up against the wall and you don't know how to deal with what you're trying to deal with, you're not going to overcome it under your own might and under your own strength. See, we look for miracle signs and wonders. That's what we've been praying for. But yet we seem to sometimes want to experience those in our lives without having to deal with anything of negative consequences in our lives. Right? We want God to give us a new job, but we don't necessarily want to quit our old one because it's comfortable. We want God to perform miracles in our lives, but we don't want to go through the process sometimes. So we try to overcome things with our own strength. Next thing is after we overcome obstacles through communication, we need to be able to commune with God. Let God. If you're looking for a way to get out of whatever situation or solve whatever issue you're struggling with right now, trust me, commune with God. Talk to God about it. Let it be your first plan of action instead of your last resort. And then the next thing that comes along the road here, and this is something that we really struggle with. Communication with God is one thing that we deal with that's difficult. But the next thing that we deal with, we don't even like to confront this at times, because it means that we're going to have to submit ourselves to God. And I don't know, I don't care how spiritual you are, Pastor Seidel. Our flesh just doesn't like to submit. We have difficulties dealing with submission. But in order to take and overcome our problems, we're going to have to defeat the difficulty of our problem through obedience to God. It's the only way it's going to happen. You can't do your own thing and be submissive to God. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest, and he said to him, listen, God gave us a plan. This is what the plan is. It sounds ridiculously foolish, but it's what God said to do. If you are absolutely broke and God told you, I want you to go and dig into that dumpster, and you're going to find an old McDonald's bag full of maggots, but inside that is your blessing, would you argue with God about that, or would you go do that? Most of us would say, seriously, Lord, that can't be your voice. You wouldn't have me do something stupid like that. Well, I don't know. Israel marched around Jericho 6 times, 6 days, never said a word. Naaman dipped in the muddy Jordan 7 times. Sometimes God's ways just simply make no sense to us. But you see, Joshua shared, communicated with Israel. They came up with the plan. They followed out that plan of action. And we read now, after the battle, there's never been any battle that's ever been won or fought in quite that manner. We talk about it. Here we are thousands of years later. How did all of this happen? All of this happened because of their obedience to God. We have to listen very closely. It was their obedience to God that produced the miraculous miracle that they needed to overcome the obstacle that was in front of them. It's just that easy. It was obedience to God that produced the wonders. It wasn't like 40 years ago where they all sat around and started to gripe and complain. We don't read of any negative spirit. We don't read of any discouragement. We don't read of anything. They willingly obeyed God even when it made little to no sense. So obedience is the key. You see, obedience to God or compliance to God's word, His voice in our lives, is the key to the moving of God's mighty hand in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Many Christians today, we pride ourselves at times of living our lives within reason. But today, God is challenging us. He's challenging this church, this people. He wants us to live our lives by faith. And when I mean faith, I'm not talking about our faith in ourselves. I'm talking about our faith in an almighty God. We are to walk in faith. We are to walk in obedience. We are to follow His direction and the leadership that He has for us, His purpose for our lives. We read in chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. We read that impossibilities become possibilities through the confidence that we have in our God. That's where our faith, our trust, our confidence has to be in our God all the time. I know sometimes it's easy. It's easy for me. It's easy when we have all of these talented men and women in this congregation. It's very easy sometimes to just say, you know what, we got this. We can handle this. It's kind of like the 7 sons of Sceva. You know, they looked at that demonic spirit and they said, you know what? Yeah, we got this. We can handle this. And they totally left God out of the picture. I think if they would have consulted God, I don't know how much religion they had in them, how much Holy Ghost they had in them, but it could have been a different story. But instead they said, you know what, we got this. We've seen the disciples do it. Let's do this. So when we look at this, impossibilities become possibilities through confidence. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. I could have Sister Cecily, if you would come this time, sis. You see, they devoted the city to the Lord. They destroyed it with the sword. They did exactly what God had commanded them to do. They destroyed the city, every living thing in it, the men, the women, the young, the old, the cattle, the sheep, the donkeys. everything. You see, in the end, the walls fell. But you see, if we looked at this from a faith viewpoint, if we looked at this from a God viewpoint, looked at it from God's perspective, you see, the walls were never the problem. Very seldom, if ever, are obstacles the problem when it comes to God. You see, the wall isn't the problem. I'm the problem. You're the problem. We, as humanity, are always the problem. You understand that? The obstacle's not the issue. It's my flesh that wants to say no, wants to argue with God. We, church, become the problems. If we could stand tonight. You see, we're always... This is frustrating to me. This is very frustrating to me because I have determined I don't want to become a problem for God. I don't want God to look down and say, well, Pastor Roy, if you would move. I don't want to be an obstacle for my neighbor. I don't want to be a stumbling block for any of my brothers or sisters. You see, God has the power to do anything he chooses to do. He could take in the snap of a finger, this whole entire universe could be gone, and we would never even know that we ever existed. Just like that, boom, it's gone. But you see, God is a God of principle. God is a God of purpose. He has the power to do as he chooses. But what he desires is he desires for humanity to act in obedient faith. And when we act in obedient faith, then all of those walls, all of those obstacles that we are struggling with in our lives. Hebrews 11:30 tells me, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. So if I follow the voice of God, I follow his command, I communicate with him, I commune with him. When he tells me to go, I go. When he tells me to stop, I stop. When he tells me to rest, I rest. See, Joshua and the people of Israel demonstrated deep confidence and power in God. And I want to just challenge us tonight with this last closing question. Do you have that kind of confidence in your God? And if you don't, why? Why? What is it that's holding you back? So I want to open up this front tonight, this altar. Perhaps maybe you've never experienced or had a God moment in your life. I want to invite you to come down to the front and just surrender your life. When I say surrender, I mean just come down, lift your hands up and say, Lord, I'm just making a mess of things and I can't keep things rolling correctly sometimes. I just need some help. I need to better understand how you think. I want to understand when God talks to me that I can communicate. I can hear his voice. I want to have that kind of confidence in my God that Joshua had in his God. Because remember, Joshua had to go to the people and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to march for 6 days. I want to have that confidence when God says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to step out in faith. I want you to trust me. And you step out in faith and you trust God. You can start singing, Sister Says.
I need you to soften my heart, to break me apart. I need you to open my eyes and see that you're shaping my life.
That's it. Come on down to the front.
And pour your heart out to God. I am.
Oh, what a great God.
I surrender. What you say, that you're good, and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give me faith. Trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. Yeah. I'm broken inside, and I give you my life.
Jesus, we love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God.
And soften my heart, to break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And all I am, I serve. Trust what you say, that you're good, and your love is great. And I'm broken inside, and I give you my life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I may be your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, your spirit. Spirit strong in me, my flesh may fall.